for joining us today with Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Heller. We have live in the studios over there, Hobie Ford, puppeteer. Hello, Ann.
Oh, that's right, Andy. He is a puppeteer extraordinaire, has gotten all kinds of awards, including the Citation of Excellence from the Union Internationale de la Marionette, and has worked at the Kennedy Center, has worked with a lot of different people around the world, and we are very fortunate to have him in studio today. He's actually going to be appearing at the Greenwood Library at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I was lucky enough to snag him to come here and talk to us all about the art of puppeteering and his life as a puppeteer. So welcome, Hobie Ford. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
That's right. You drove down from Asheville.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Bright and early.
Bright and early. And you live just outside of Asheville, is that right?
I do. A little town called Weaverville.
Weaverville.
Yeah.
And yet you are from Connecticut.
Yes. I moved down to Appalachia when I was around 21,
mm-hmm.
and did a little traveling, and then came here to study with a puppeteer. And I left New England, where you could buy an outhouse for $100,000, and I was able to rent a little cabin here for $25 a month. With an outhouse.
Life was good.
Yeah, they threw the outhouse in for free.
It's amazing the difference, isn't it?
Yeah. And it just, you know, I love New England. New York sort of swallowed my little New England town when I was growing up. And it was so expensive, and there was so much pressure to get right out and make a living right away. And I knew that I wouldn't continue as a puppeteer if I stayed there. So I came to Appalachia and met my wife there, and we have a family. And I guess you're never quite from the South if you're not born here.
If you're a Yankee. I'm from Maine originally.
Yeah, yes. But I've been there longer than I lived up there, so now I'm starting to think, well, maybe I'm a local.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, the great thing about North Carolina is all the small cottage and the arts, and whether you're into pottery or mm-hmm. puppeteering or mm-hmm. all of these things, they definitely help get people started
those
fields.
I think
it's great.
When I got to Asheville area, and I chose it because of the craft industry, and I knew that I could make a living making crafts, which I did. I did wood carvings and different things, and messed around with little instruments that I could sell cheaply, and on my road right now, there's 6 professional potters. So it's a really arty place, and I love that.
That's right. You know, we have started down here at in Edgefield, a big pottery program through Piedmont Technical College, and the gentleman that runs it, I can't remember his name right at this moment, but he actually came from up in that area and came down here and started the program here at Piedmont Tech.
Well, that's great. He probably buys clay from my neighbor.
Maybe he does.
He has a big clay outfit, supplies the Southeast with his clays.
Well,
High water clay.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we are here talking with Hobie Ford today. He is going to be, like I said, appearing over there at the Greenwood Library. And I would just like to know, Hobie, how, with all this traveling, I mean, you actually have a show coming up at the Kennedy Center. You've traveled to Singapore. You've been all around the world, been to Mexico, all these festivals and everything. How were we so lucky to get you to come to Greenwood, South Carolina today?
Well, somebody called me up and said, do you want to come do a show? And I said, yeah. This is how I make my living. And really about 70-80% of my work takes place in libraries or elementary schools in rural America. You know, several times a year I get to go do grand theaters and have lighting and tech people asking me what my needs are, and if I, you know, but usually it's just me and the minivan traveling across the countryside to some little library or school.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, this is pretty cool that you're here today, and I know everybody is looking forward to your performance at the Greenwood Library this afternoon at 3 o'clock. But when you were growing up, 12, 13, 14, did you have any idea you would end up in puppetry?
No, but I always knew that I wanted to do something in the arts. My father was a businessman, worked on Wall Street, and I knew I didn't want to do that. And
all right,
Dad, I'm going to be a puppeteer.
Yeah, how did he react to that?
It hit him pretty hard.
I can imagine. I mean, I'm sure he had no idea that that was how you would make a living. How does he feel about it now, though?
Well, he's passed away now, okay. and he never really saw my career take off. But I think toward the end, he was glad I was happy, you know, and he realized I wasn't going to sell stocks and bonds like him, so.
Probably a good thing right now.
See, yeah. See, I'm employed.
Yeah, that's right. But anyways, what did you think you wanted to do, 12, 13, 14?
Oh, I thought I might want to be a musician. I played the drums, but I dabbled in art. I used to, when Planet of the Apes came out, I was making Planet of the Apes prosthetic masks out of aluminum foil and supplies from the first aid cabinet. And magic markers and things. So I knew I was going to do something a little different.
Yeah, and then you went off to school, went off to mm-hmm. college, went to New York to go to school.
Yeah, State University in New York. It was a school of the arts. And, and really quickly I realized that I wasn't going to be a great artist. I didn't understand abstract expressionism, and the art was so intellectual and abstract, and I just didn't get it. And then I remembered puppetry when I was in the fifth grade. I was at a boarding school. I was quite unhappy and homesick, and I'd get my homework done because that meant you got to go home on the weekend. And so when the puppeteer arrived to do a marionette show, I was the one who'd finished his homework, and I got to help him set up. And it was a first-class marionette show. And years later, in art school, contemplating what I would do, the idea just hit me. Well, you could make a marionette show. And so I went into New York City and visited Bill Baird and the Hensons and all sorts of little marionette theaters, and really quickly realized that it would be a lot of fun and engage all my interests.
So there you go. That's mm-hmm. how it all starts.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Hobie Ford. So don't go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it SFG, that's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, or call us 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too, paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
We have a grand puppeteer here. We were talking before, you never actually got to meet Jim Henson, but you were puppeteering and very close. In fact, you got several grants from the Jim Henson.
That's right. In around 1988, I went to a puppet festival, and some of his people were there and saw my work and invited me to apply for one of their grants. And I set up the stage in the living room and shot a homemade video and sent it off. And they told me that Jim loved it. And right off the bat, he said, well, let's give one to this guy. Let's give a grant to him. And I always thought I'd get to meet him, and I didn't. And I regret that.
Yeah, you were saying you were like an aisle and a half away from him at one point, and people were coming up and wanting autographs, and you said, no, I'm not going to do it that way, right?
Yeah, he came, him and Frank Oz, came to a puppet festival in Boston, and just as a surprise. Mm-hmm. And they were around all day long, and I'd love to meet him. Yeah, and I waited, and I probably shouldn't have.
Probably shouldn't have. Yeah.
I know his family pretty well now. They're friends
great.
And colleagues.
Yeah. In fact, the award that you got, the citation, we were talking about that, the citation of excellence from Union Internationale de la Marionnette. What exactly is a citation? I can think of a citation you get from the police department here now.
No, this is a good thing. There are about 30 or 40 reviewers across the country, and when at a puppet festival, they may all be there. They're all anonymous. We don't know who they are. And they recommend a show for a citation if they think it's something that this is worth seeing. You should see this. Mm-hmm. That in those were Jim's words. If it's something you'd recommend to a friend, I really think you should see this show. This is really great. So I was fortunate to get one, mm-hmm. and I'm proud of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you've done a lot of traveling, but where did all the ideas come from, and how did you come up with these foamy puppets that you're talking about here, the foamies?
Right. Well, I was listening to an artist named Paul Winter. Paul Winter Consort was sort of a light jazz.
Did he have long white hair?
No.
No,
that was Johnny Winter.
Johnny Winter, yeah. Okay.
Liked him too, though.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Okay.
Edgar, Johnny, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but Paul Winter's music was inspired by nature, had animal sounds in it, and...
Jeff would call it that whale music stuff, right?
That whale music, so, yeah. It almost fits into New Age music, but yes. It really wasn't that. It was before that. And, in fact, the Apollo astronauts took one of his songs to the moon with him 40 years ago.
Okay.
A song called Icarus, about a man who wanted to fly, from Greek mythology. At any rate, I was visiting the Muppet Studios trying to get a job on Jim Henson's film The Dark Crystal, and I saw them carving foam rubber, but not for puppets. They used it for, like, tree roots and props and things like that. So I talked to a woman who showed me how the technique worked, and I understand now that the first Miss Piggy was carved foam, but they would wear that head out in about 3 hours. They would rip it off and put a new one on. And then they learned...
Or Miss Piggy kept losing her head.
Yeah, she kept losing her head. And finally, they found out how to cast them. And they still only last a few hours. But
wow.
I don't... Mine will last 20 years because I'm not manipulating them in a way that stresses them out. So it's upholstery foam. It's on the soft side. I carve it. I learned my wood carving from a famous... one of the Martin brothers from Asheville, Edsel Martin, taught me how to carve birds in the 70s. And I use the same technique, essentially, the takeaway method, with an electric meat knife and scissors instead of carving knives.
Wow.
And I stain the foam and then add mechanisms or just rods. There'll be some foamies today at the Greenwood Library in my show. The show is primarily shadow puppets, silhouettes, but at the end of the show I always feature the animals called the foamies.
Well, now, you use the rods. Now, that's another aspect of it, too,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
That's
a particular type of puppetry.
Right. It originally comes from Indonesia. The Wayang Kulik is the shadow puppetry, and the Wayang Golek is the three-dimensional puppetry. Then it came into Europe around the turn of the century. An Austrian puppeteer, Richard Teschner, took those Indonesian puppets and brought them into the technology of marionette theater and everything that they were doing, which was really big at the time. And then he created rod puppets, really essentially moving from below instead of above, and really gave you a lot more control. So when you see Sesame Street or the Muppets, what you're seeing are hand puppets, but they use rods on the hands of the puppet, so they're called hand and rod puppets. And I don't do that style. I do the older European style, whether it be two-dimensional shadow puppets or these foam puppets, which are three-dimensional rod puppets.
But isn't part of what you do, you actually study the movements of the animals, whether it's whales or frogs or dolphins, and you try to mimic their movements? That has to be difficult to get them to do that.
Right. Yeah. And my teacher was a wonderful manipulator.
Teacher was a wonderful manipulator.
it's the jargon of the trade, and it's a good kind of manipulation here. Now, like that citation, it's a good thing.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. And so I learned that pretty early on, and when I started doing animal puppets, I had to understand how an otter moved or how a whale or a dolphin move. And pretty soon I realized that my hands were doing similar things, whether it be a fox or an otter or a dolphin or a horse. And then listening to a talk radio show one day, someone described that all animal movement, all mammals have the same ratio of movement in their bodies. And I was really getting that kinesthetically through learning how to operate the puppets. So once I learned to do one, The others sort of came easily. So now reptiles are harder.
Reptiles are harder.
They've got a different kind of movement, see?
All right. Well, gee, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Now, how do you determine what type of programs you're going to do? I mean, you say you work with kids, from what, kindergarten to fifth grade or something, basically?
My focus has always been elementary school. And then of late, I realized that, oh, no, I've got to include preschoolers because they're turning up at the show. So I have to, you know, when I'm creating a show, it's difficult because I have to know that I'm going to have a three-year-old in the front row, and I'm going to have a fifth grader, and I'm going to have really maybe their mom or dad or grandparent there, and I need to entertain all of them. So you really have to, you don't want to play down to them. You're playing to the older people in the audience, but also to the very youngest. So it really reins you in on the things that you can do. I also work solo, and that's a consideration. I get inspiration from music like Paul Winter, or maybe folktales, or maybe I'm fascinated with a culture. I lived with Native Americans for several years in my late teens in a community in Nevada. And so when I left, I became inspired to use their music and folk tales, and that became a show. Or I'm interested in history, so along the way, I decided to do a history of whaling presentation, and which was, in the end, kind of an environmental show. But it might be literature, you know, Legend of Sleepy Hollow, or... I keep coming back to folk tales. I really like folk tales, and
why
I do
you
a
like
lot of
folk
them.
Tales? You know, we were talking. I was interested how you're with the Game Boys and all the big movies and all the big sound effects and effects that we have today. How can puppetry satisfy children?
Well, Game Boys don't tell stories, and kids, really, all human beings love to hear story. That's one
called
component.
Gossip. We really like
right.
gossip.
Yeah. And so if it's a well-told story, then it's going to draw them in. Now, Jim Henson realized when he created Sesame Street that kids really liked things that were sequences that were very short, advertisements, things like everything in the culture, sort of the attention span was getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And so he created little snippets and little skits. And I found that folk tales are great because they usually last about 5 to 10 minutes, and that's a great attention span. And then you can switch puppet styles, or you can change the pace and move in another direction. But I've always found it hard to do the 45-minute or one-hour story. I think it's hard to keep kids involved in it mm-hmm. with puppetry. And puppetry is a wonderful art form, and there are companies who put on brilliant, you know, hour and a half shows. They usually have more puppeteers than one person, and so I feel satisfied if I can entertain them for 10 minutes at a time. I'm lucky.
Well, that's great. You know, we're going to be talking a lot more about puppeteering, and Hobie Ford is going to tell us more about some of the different things he does. He is here today to do a very nice show over there at the Greenwood Community Library at 3 p.m. this afternoon. So if you are sitting here listening and you've got grandchildren, any particular age this is particularly good for today?
Really all ages. There will be no problem getting those little guys in the theater. They always arrive in, you know, the toddlers and the lower elementary. But I'd encourage older kids, even high school students, could get something out of it. The art form, as I present it, is pretty sophisticated. They may feel silly at first when they go sit down, but when the show begins, they'll be very engaged. Right. I often perform just for adults.
Just for adults. Yeah. So this is an opportunity to see a grandmaster of puppeteering, maybe?
Oh, that's a big word.
That's a big word?
Yeah, yeah. There were wonderful masters, and I don't consider myself a master. I'm pretty good, though.
You're pretty good, though. Hey, you don't want to miss it today at 3 o'clock. We're going to hear South Carolina news and then a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We are back over here. We've been playing with our peepers over here. No, not our eyes. This little peeper toy that he has. It's a great little finger puppet, right? Is that what you really call it,
yeah.
A finger puppet?
Yeah.
You know, I think you could entertain yourself for hours here doing this. You probably need more than one, though, I think. One for each hand so they can talk to each other. And
there you go.
You'd rather sell two than one any day, wouldn't
you?
Yeah. But anyways, these are great. Are you going to have any of those with you at the show today?
You know, they're in the car, but generally, I'm not sure what the policy is. Usually, you're not allowed to sell things at a library, and
right.
I don't. I mention it in the show, and they can get it online. But when I'm allowed to, I do.
Okay, all right. Well, these are pretty cool. They're kind of like the Geico eyeballs there. That's if I had to describe that over the radio, that would be a good way to describe it.
Yeah, or the Ubi character on television.
I'm not familiar with Ubi.
Yeah,
but,
Nicola, every three-year-old knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So.
I don't think we have a lot of three-year-olds tuned in here.
Yeah.
But anyways, if you want some good, fun entertainment today, you got to go to the Greenwood County Library. The show is at 3 o'clock. Now, how long is the show?
About 55 minutes.
About an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you'll be able to have a good time, and you're going to be explaining what you're doing. Now, we were just talking about the shadow puppets and how kids can, you've got something on your website where they can download and make their own.
Right. If the parents want to go to HobieFord.com and there go to the download section and look for the study guides, really any of my study guides have the shadow puppet project in it. And it's a wonderfully creative project. You probably have the materials you need at home. Poster board or even, you know, recycled cereal box will do, masking tape, bamboo skewers with the sharp end snipped off. A screen is made with a shower curtain liner from the dollar store and maybe a cardboard box or a project display board.
This is under $10 project.
Yeah. It's all probably, and you could improvise everything, and or you could buy it, you know, for less than 10, 20 bucks. And it's a wonderfully creative medium that can be taken to any level. A second grader with the scissor skills can do it. I use the very same technique in shows I've performed at the Kennedy Center. So, and I like to tell the kids, if things ever get rough, just remember, cardboard and masking tape.
Cardboard and masking tape. Yeah. You know, that's terrific. You were saying that when they're making, you're making the stage and everything, that's like a computer screen.
They resonate with it. They see shadow puppets, and initially they go into that sort of TV movie watching trance, you know, and then they realize that it's live, you know, because I'll respond to something, maybe a laugh or an audience remark, or they can tell that it's live and it's different there.
Right.
And then that they can create their own media very simply at home, in their living room, or take it to school, or put it on YouTube, or all the things you can do with.
Over the years, you've been doing this for
33 years.
I'm sure you have influenced some young people today. Anybody that you today correspond with who's gone off and gotten into puppetry and said because they were what you showed them or something, they were involved.
Lots of young people.
Yeah,
I'll often get. High school students for their senior exit project. I always get one a year, generally. Young puppeteers from around the country will often come to a theater and correspond with me later and maybe become an intern. Someone will email me and with a puppet question, and I'll give them a different slant on how to do it. Most of the puppetry you see today is Muppet style, which is great. But there's so many different ways of working that are also fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jim Henson set up his granting foundation, he was really trying to promote that. I think he felt a little guilty that he steered everyone toward that Muppet style puppet, and really wanted to make people aware that there were other forms of puppetry, that puppetry wasn't just for little children, it was for all ages. And we see that in the culture with Lion King on Broadway, a lot of operas and theaters are starting to get on the wagon and use puppetry in their productions.
Sure.
So it's really, I think puppetry people ask me if there's a renaissance going on, and I really think it's sort of an ongoing thing. People are discovering puppetry all the time.
You know, that's terrific. You know, one of my things that we're always talking about here, because we have a little theater, we have a museum, we have a federal building here, is the struggle that all these different art centers are having. When you travel, do you see any problems out there?
I do. Yeah, arts organizations, art teachers, or art programs being cut from schools. I think it's a mistake. They're learning now. The Kennedy Center, their education department, which is really cutting edge, have realized that kids really can learn when you integrate the arts into their life, whether it's music, which can improve math skills. A visual learner like myself, if the projects that I was involved with that were visual, spatial, like masking tape and cardboard and things like that, I remember those lessons because they were tied to my own intelligence. And there are so many different kinds of intelligences we teach to. The arts are really vital.
And I agree.
And I think we need to get away from this teaching to the test, which is really the lowest grade of absorption of information. You get it and you lose it. But when you have a deeper experience, like working with an art form and connecting that to history, hands-on, that is a deeper level of learning, and it will stay with them for the rest of their lives.
And as we age here and everything and the way things are going, we need to learn how to entertain ourselves, don't we?
We do. And, you know, there's another sort of jargon going around with what are the 21st century skills that we need. And one of the number one ones is creativity, to be an innovator, to innovate, to create the next whatever. You have to know how to think creatively. And the arts are one of the great ways of learning creative thinking,
sure.
Problem solving.
Absolutely. And, you know, you were talking about how children seem to love folk tales, stories being told to them.
Yeah.
It seems to me in our whole society, we're getting away from conversations, you know, with Twitter or quick texts and this type of thing. It's good to know that people are enjoying having a conversation or a story told to them.
Yeah, that is really so.
So these are good things that are happening here, and of course Hobie Ford is going to be there this afternoon. So put up the Game Boys, put up the DVDs, come on out to the library, the Greenwood Library, this afternoon at 3 o'clock. You will be entertained. Now, you said you're doing shadow puppets. Are you going to have any of your foamies with you?
Certainly.
At
the end of the show, I'll have a group of these animal puppets, and they're part of every show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and do you take questions? Do you interact with them?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. I do a lot of Q&A at the end.
Okay.
Like to talk to my audience. And it ought to be a fun time.
It should be a fun time. It's nice that you live up there in Asheville, or right outside of Asheville, not too far away, so maybe you'll be able to come back here again. You know, we're building a brand new, fantastic library facility here.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. Yeah. Libraries are so important. So I like to tell people, support your library. You know, when the chips are down, you can go rent a book for free.
you can
go online at the library. There's, you know, it's a great things happen at the library.
They certainly do, and we have a very active Friends of the Library, I'm sure is probably part of what paid to have you come down here today. So
I thank them.
That's great. That's right, yeah. Friends of the Library. Hey, you know, they're going to have, he's quite inventive. He is a lot of fun to talk to. You are actually going to be going back to the Kennedy Center.
Yes, this
fall.
In
October, right?
In October, a week-long run. Just got back from Wolf Trap. Was up there in the D.C. area at that Performing Arts Center. And, it's a good season coming along.
Coming along
for
puppetry.
I haven't been laid off yet.
You haven't been laid off. Well,
can't
probably.
Really lay me off.
This is a one-man show, folks. Well, that's pretty cool. So, anyways, you are going back there in October 10th to the 11th. Where do you go after you come? After you going back home after today's performance?
Actually, I'm going down to Carrollton, Georgia, to work with some special need kids and also a summer camp there at the Townsend Center, part of the university there. And so that's my next 3 days, and then I'm off to Scotland to celebrate my oldest daughter's wedding with the Scottish relatives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, you'll be over there. You're going to take peepers, I guess.
Oh, I'll take a few peepers. Yep. We'll go taste the haggis. And...
How about that new movie, the new one there? The movie Haggis.
Oh, is it? Don't know it.
Don't know
so
it.
So now I have to see it.
Oh,
maybe they'll
okay.
show it on the plane.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyways, you'll have to check that out. But do you do a puppet show for your daughter's wedding?
No. No.
So, that's the entertainment. The bride's dad and mom are doing a puppet show for everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
No. Not.
Not going to happen. She'd probably be too embarrassed, right?
That's right.
Well, anyways, so cool to have you here today. And looking forward, I wish I was able to see your performance, but my radio partner, Peggy, is going to be there with her granddaughter today.
Well, so good.
They
Great.
Will give me a full report.
Well, you can go to HobieFord.com and watch a little puppet film.
Puppet
film. If you can't
film.
Make the show, you can go watch some of my film clips there.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Hey, it's been great having you here today.
And it's been great talking with you as well.
All right. Thanks so much for coming on. You know, you can see him this afternoon live in person at the Greenwood County Library. That's right. It's at 3 p.m. Better get there early and get your seat because I imagine it's going to be a large group that'll be there to enjoy this performance. So thanks again for coming out, Hobie, and have a safe trip.
I'll do it. Thank you.
All righty. Hey, this is WLMA, you know, the station that always keeps you in the know. And yes, I am Ann Eller. I've had a great conversation today with Hobie Ford, and he's going to be, like I said, at the Greenwood Library this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So go out there, grab up a couple of kids. If you don't have any of your own, just grab them off the street and take them to the show. No, just teasing. But anyways, go have a good time at the show this afternoon. This is WLMA, 1350 AM, Greenwood. In the Lakelands News Talk Radio. Bye bye.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
We are back over here. We've been playing with our peepers over here. No, not our eyes. This little peeper toy that he has. It's a great little finger puppet, right? Is that what you really call it, a finger puppet?
Yeah.
You know, I think you could entertain yourself for hours here doing this. You probably need more than one, though, I think. One for each hand so they can talk to each other. And
there you go.
You'd rather sell two than one any day, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But anyways, these are great. Are you going to have any of those with you at the show today?
You know, they're in the car, but generally, I'm not sure what the policy is. Usually, you're not allowed to sell things at a library, and
right.
I don't. I mention it in the show, and they can get it online. But when I'm allowed to, I do.
Okay, all right. Well, these are pretty cool. They're kind of like the Geico eyeballs there. That's if I had to describe that over the radio, that would be a good way to describe it.
Yeah, or the Ubi character on television.
I'm not familiar with Ubi.
Yeah,
but,
Nicola, every three-year-old knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So.
I don't think we have a lot of three-year-olds tuned in here.
Yeah.
But anyways, if you want some good, fun entertainment today, you got to go to the Greenwood County Library. The show is at 3 o'clock. Now, how long is the show?
About 55 minutes.
About an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you'll be able to have a good time, and you're going to be explaining what you're doing. Now, we were just talking about the shadow puppets and how kids can, you've got something on your website where they can download and make
right.
their own.
Right. If the parents want to go to HobieFord.com and there go to the download section and look for the study guides, really any of my study guides have the shadow puppet project in it. And it's a wonderfully creative project. You probably have the materials you need at home. Poster board or even, you know, recycled cereal box will do, masking tape, bamboo skewers with the sharp end snipped off. A screen is made with a shower curtain liner from the dollar store and maybe a cardboard box or a project display board.
This is under $10 project.
Yeah. It's all probably, and you could improvise everything and or you could buy it, you know, for less than 10-20 bucks. And it's a wonderfully creative medium that can be taken to any level. A second grader with the scissor skills can do it. I use the very same technique in shows I've performed at the Kennedy Center. So, and I like to tell the kids, if things ever get rough, just remember cardboard and masking tape.
Cardboard and masking tape. Yeah. You know, that's terrific. You were saying that when you're making the stage and everything, that's like a computer screen.
They resonate with it. They see shadow puppets, and initially they go into that sort of TV movie watching trance, you know, and then they realize that it's live, you know, because I'll respond to something, maybe a laugh or an audience remark, or they can tell that it's live and it's different there.
Right.
And then that they can create their own media very simply at home, in their living room, or take it to school, or put it on YouTube, or
sure.
All the things you can do with.
Well, what over the years, you've been doing this for
33 years.
I'm sure you have influenced some young people today. Anybody that you today correspond with who's gone off and gotten into puppetry and said because they were what you showed them or something, they were involved?
Oh, lots of young people.
Yeah.
I'll often get high school students for their senior exit project. I always get one a year generally. Young puppeteers from around the country will often come to a theater and correspond with me later and maybe become an intern. Someone will email me and with a puppet question, and I'll give them a different slant on how to do it. Most of the puppetry you see today is Muppet style, which is great, but there's so many different ways of working that are also fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jim Henson set up his granting foundation, he was really trying to promote that. I think he felt a little guilty that he steered everyone toward that Muppet-style puppet, and really wanted to make people aware that there were other forms of puppetry, that puppetry wasn't just for little children, it was for all ages. And we see that in the culture with Lion King on Broadway. A lot of operas and theaters are starting to get on the wagon and use puppetry in their productions.
Sure.
So it's really, I think puppetry, people ask me if there's a renaissance going on, and I really think it's sort of an ongoing thing. People are discovering puppetry all the time.
You know, that's terrific. You know, one of my things that we're always talking about here, because we have a little theater, we have a museum, we have a federal building here, is the struggle that all these different art centers are having. When you travel, do you see any problems out there?
I do. Yeah, arts organizations, art teachers, or art programs being cut from schools. I think it's a mistake. Mm-hmm. They're learning now. The Kennedy Center, their education department, which is really cutting edge, have realized that kids really can learn when you integrate the arts into their life, whether it's music, which can improve math skills. A visual learner like myself, if the projects that I was involved with that were visual, spatial, like masking tape and cardboard and things like that, I remember those lessons because they were tied to my own intelligence. And there are so many different kinds of intelligences we teach to. The arts are really vital.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
And I think we need to get away from this teaching to the test, which is really the lowest grade of absorption of information. You get it and you lose it. But when you have a deeper experience, like working with an art form and connecting that to history, hands-on, that is a deeper level of learning, and it will stay with them for the rest of their lives.
And as we age here and everything, and the way things are going, we need to learn how to entertain ourselves, don't we?
We do. And, you know, there's another sort of jargon going around with what are the 21st century skills that we need. And one of the number one ones is creativity, to be an innovator, to innovate, to create the next whatever. You have to know how to think creatively. And the arts are one of the great ways of learning creative thinking,
sure.
Problem solving.
Absolutely. And, you know, you were talking about being how children seem to love folk tales, stories being told to them.
Yeah.
It seems to me in our whole society, we're getting away from conversations, you know, with Twitter or quick
texters and this type of thing. It's good to know that people are enjoying having a conversation or a story told to them.
Yeah, that is really so.
So these are good things that are happening here. And, of course, Hobie Ford is going to be there this afternoon. So put up the Game Boys, put up the DVDs. Come on out to the library, the Greenwood Library, this afternoon at 3 o'clock. You will be entertained. Now, you said you're doing shadow puppets. Are you going to have any of your foamies with you?
Certainly. At the end of the show, I'll have a group of these animal puppets, and they're part of every show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and do you take questions? Do you interact with them?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. I do a lot of Q&A at the end.
Okay.
Like to talk to my audience. And it ought to be a fun time.
It should be a fun time. It's nice that you live up there in Asheville or right outside of Asheville, not too far away. So maybe you'll be able to come back here again. You know, we're building a brand new, fantastic library facility here.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. Yeah. Libraries are so important. So I like to tell people, support your library. You know, when the chips are down, you can go rent a book for free.
Yeah,
you can go online at the library. There's, you know, it's a great things happen at the library.
They certainly do, and we have a very active Friends of the Library, I'm sure, is probably part of what paid to have you come down here today. So
thank them.
That's great. That's right, yeah. Friends of the Library. Hey, you know, they're going to have, he's quite inventive. He is a lot of fun to talk to. You are actually going to be going back to the Kennedy Center.
Yes, this
October,
fall.
Right?
In October, a week-long run. Just got back from Wolf Trap. Was up there in the D.C. area at that Performing Arts Center. And, it's a good season coming along.
Coming along for puppetry.
I haven't been laid off yet.
You haven't been laid off. Well,
can't
probably
really lay me off.
This is a one-man show, folks. Well, that's pretty cool. So, anyways, you are going back there in October 10th to the 11th. Where do you go after you come? After you going back home after today's performance?
Actually, I'm going down to Carrollton, Georgia, mm-hmm. to work with some special need kids and also a summer camp there at the Townsend Center, part of the university there. And so that's my next 3 days, and then I'm off to Scotland to celebrate my oldest daughter's wedding with the Scottish relatives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you'll be over there. You're going to take peepers, I guess.
Oh, I'll take a few peepers. Yep. We'll go taste the haggis. And
how about that new movie, the new one there? The movie Haggis.
Oh, is it? Don't know it.
Don't know
so
it?
So now I have to see it.
Oh,
maybe they'll
okay.
show it on the plane.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyways, you'll have to check that out. But do you do a puppet show for your daughter's wedding?
No. No.
So, that's the entertainment. The bride's dad and mom are doing a puppet show for everybody,
yeah,
right?
No. Not.
Not going to happen. She'd probably be too embarrassed, right?
That's right.
Well, anyway, so cool to have you here today. And looking forward, I wish I was able to see your performance, but my radio partner, Peggy, is going to be there with her granddaughter today.
Well, so good.
They
Great.
Will give me a full report.
Well, you can go to HobieFord.com and watch a little puppet film.
Puppet
if you can't
film.
Make the show, you can go watch some of my film clips there.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Hey, it's been great having you here today.
And it's been great talking with you as well.
All right, thanks so much for coming on. You know, you can see him this afternoon live in person at the Greenwood County Library. That's right, it's at 3 p.m. Better get there early and get your seat, because I imagine it's going to be a large group that'll be there to enjoy this performance. So thanks again for coming out, Hobie, and have a safe trip.
I'll do it. Thank you.
All righty. Hey, this is WLMA, you know, the station that always keeps you in the know. And yes, I am Ann Eller. I've had a great conversation today with Hobie Ford, and he's going to be, like I said, at the Greenwood Library this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So go out there, grab up a couple of kids. If you don't have any of your own, just grab them off the street and take them to the show. No, just teasing. But anyways, go have a good time at the show this afternoon. This is WLMA, 1350 AM, Greenwood in the Lakelands News Talk Radio. Bye-bye.